Heavenly Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to come now in power and live in our hearts and inspire our minds, that we might hear you clearly this morning and have the courage to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Sorry, we've got a cluttered lectern here. Need to move stuff out of the way. Okay, so we are continuing our series teaching on angels, and we come to this little passage here that Ronnie read to us from the book of Hebrews. And the passage itself is these three verses pack quite a punch, And I have one question for you at the beginning, and then the question that refers to the first slide will come at the end. So the first question I want to ask you is this: is there someone you struggle to love? All right? Is there someone you struggle to love? And at this point, I will put my hand up and say, I do. All right? I will say, I do. I have one person who I deeply struggle to love because of that person's behavior from when I was a child to now. All right? So I'm letting you know that I have someone that I deeply struggle to love, and I need to sort it out. And I'm asking you this morning, is there someone you struggle to love? And the reason for that struggle, maybe, I hope, will become clearer as we go through these three little, apparently insignificant, but powerful passages. Okay? So this letter to the Hebrews is, by and large, a love letter. It's a love letter. I read about love letters. I was looking for stuff on love letters. If you go to my attic, or the attic of my family home, you will find, I hope I will find, a whole box of love letters that Jane and I exchanged back in the 80s when there was no Facebook or WhatsApp or texts, and telephone calls cost too much unless you did them after 7 o'clock on a Sunday night. Isn't that right? Something like that. You know, so all you were left with was pen and ink, pen and paper, and the price of a stamp. And if you were really in love, you bought first-class stamps. And if you were only playing at it, you bought second-class stamps. But anyway, you get the thing. And I read about this guy who fell madly in love with this girl, and she wouldn't even speak to him. And he decided that the only way to express his love was to write letters. So he started off and he wrote one a week, no response. Then he wrote two a week, no response. One a day, no response. Two a day, no response. In all, he wrote over 700 letters, only to discover that she married the postman. But this is a love letter. This is a love letter, and as all love letters, all good love letters, it reminds, it not only states one's love, it's written from a place of love, a depth of love by the individual. We don't know who wrote Hebrews, but this letter is such a powerful letter. You need to read it all, not just these three verses. But we've singled out these three verses because there's an angel mentioned in the middle of it, and we'll get to that in a moment. So, is there someone you struggle to love? And then we have this first slide. The answer is love, so what's the question? What's the question? What's going on here? So hopefully this works. For us, love is the cross, isn't that right? That's where we find love. That's where we define love, and that's where we find love. What happened at the cross expresses the love that we hope to model to the world and in all of our relationships. At the heart of this great book is one central character, Jesus Christ. Many other bit parts played by many, many people, some more significant than others, but ultimately there's one character here, Jesus Christ. And there's one theme running throughout the entire book, and that book is love. That theme is love. Love is what defines us. Love makes us distinct from every other human being and every other faith in the world. The redemptive love that was shown to us, we are expected. We are expected to show to others. That's the love that separates us from the rest of the world. That's the love which defines the Christian faith. That's the love which loves enemies. That's the love which turns the other cheek. That's the love that when you're insulted, you just take it. That's the love which will admit a fault, even though it wasn't your fault, in order to help the other person move on. It's a love which the world doesn't properly understand, but it's a love defined and found at the cross. That's the love that we're on about. That's the love that makes us who we are. That's the love that will save the world. The love of Jesus Christ within us, reflected and shown through us. And this passage is written as a reminder. This entire letter is a love letter, but this particular passage is saying, is challenging us and asking us, what are we doing with this love? What are we doing with this love? Because first and foremost, we're supposed to love each other. Verse 1, let brotherly love continue. So there's an assumption that it has been happening. It's not that these Hebrews are bad people. It's not that they've forgotten so much that they need reminded about everything. But they are being told, let that love continue. Don't take a break. Love doesn't take a holiday. Love doesn't sort of get to a point where you're exhausted and you can't love anymore. Love continues. And this love is brotherly love, slash sisterly love, slash community love, love for all of us within the body of Christ. That love needs to be visibly expressed. Needs to be visibly expressed. Because simply saying, I love you, doesn't quite go far enough. It needs to be demonstrated. Needs to be shown as something active. We'll get to that in a minute. Love does stuff. It's not just good enough to say it. So this brotherly love between us is important. This brotherly love, this sisterly love, this community love defines who we are. The outside world looks in and goes, gosh, those Christians really love each other. Or they look in and say, no, those Christians actually, they're all fighting with one another. There doesn't seem to be much unity there. This love that they talk about isn't on show. It isn't being demonstrated. But this love is required of us to each other. And the writer is saying to them, let that love continue. Verse 1, continue. Because you see, there are consequences. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Black and white. And of course, we just, prior to this series on angels, completed a series on the letters from John. And here we have a repetition of it. Whoever does not love abides in death. Which makes my question right at the start, if you struggle to love someone, more and more important. More and more important. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So something is happening as we love one another. As we love one another, something is happening within us by the power of the Spirit that perfects that love within us. The Jews centered their emotions in their gut. The Hebraic word is splanic. That's where we get our "I have a gut feeling" from. Splanic. I have a gut feeling. They felt their emotions in their gut. Something is happening as we love. Something is happening to us. It is being perfected. This love of Jesus Christ, this love that is found and abides at the cross and defines who we are as Christians, that love is being perfected. We must love one another. And you know, that's hard enough. But for these three verses, that's actually the easy love. It should be easy for us all within this congregation to love each other. After all, we profess all the same things. We believe in the same risen Lord Jesus Christ. We tell others about the same gospel. We share here the most beautiful expression of love. Therefore, it should be relatively easy for us to love one another, yet we know that it is not. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Then, next verse, love the stranger. Love the stranger. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And here comes our angels reference. But actually, the passage isn't about angels. It's simply saying to us, be aware that when you entertain, when you show hospitality, when you love the stranger, you may well be loving an angel. And there's a reference there. The Hebrews reading that at that time would have referenced their Old Testament. They would have remembered Abraham. They would have remembered Abraham waking up to find three angels outside his tent. They would have remembered the two angels that helped Lot. Completely unaware. So we have this reference to angels, that we could be entertaining angels. Now for us, who is the stranger? Who is the stranger? Well, it's everybody else that's not within the brotherly, sisterly love bit. But as I read this, I felt a deep yearning that the real strangers in the 21st century world are the 70.6 million refugees and immigrants that seamlessly flow around the earth, being moved from one country to the other in search of something. Strangers. They're the strangers that most come to mind. Imagine if one of those was an angel. Imagine if our attitude to immigration, our attitude to strangers, people fleeing oppression, violence, hunger, thirst, imagine if it was not one of love and it was an angel. And of course, as they read that bit in their passage, they would have been thinking of this passage. Apologies for the small type. Matthew 25, then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Not just angels you could be entertaining or showing hospitality to, but our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Loving the stranger surely defines us as Christians. We can do the brotherly love bit, but while the rest of the world shuns the stranger, we are meant to dive in there and go, we love you. We want you to know about this gospel. We're going to feed you. We're going to give you drink. We're going to house you. We're going to do whatever it takes. Because that is what the love of Christ, defined at the cross, found at the cross, compels us to do. That's what makes the difference. We love while others simply look on. We do while others simply look on. The trouble is, we don't. And so here is a reminder to these people reading this to love the strangers. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And they'll see and hear this passage going in their heads, and we should be hearing and seeing this passage in our heads and going, my goodness, could be Christ himself sitting at our table, drinking our tea and coffee, eating our tray bakes. I think that should cause all of us to pause when a stranger is in our midst and we are wondering what to do. Strangers, love the stranger. Love each other, love the stranger. And then remember that love is active. Remember that love is active. Verse 3, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. Remember. I remember as a student, seems to be a lot of student stuff coming for me today, student, and the phone call would come into a house of five guys, a tip of a place, a tip. The only good thing was the TV and the VCR. It was pristine. And the phone call would be put down and somebody would say, my ma's coming. And that meant, get this place cleaned. When is she coming? 48 hours. Are you wise? 48 hours, we'll never get it done. And somebody would produce a brush that we never knew we had. But we would lift the carpet. Isn't that right? And you would sweep some of the stuff under the carpet. And what did we say? Out of sight. What is it? Out of sight, out of mind. But you see, for the Christian, we cannot operate on the basis of out of sight, out of mind, because we have to remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. We can't forget. There is no out of sight, out of mind for an active, loving Christian. We remember the people in prison. We go see them. There is no out of sight, out of mind. The world does that. The love that is defined and found at the cross does not do that. But we know that we don't always do that. Remember, there is no out of sight, out of mind. We have got to be active with this love. Active. Sorry, I've lost a slide. There. For Christian love, there is no such thing as out of sight, out of mind. Even better, there's this theologian, Raymond Brown, and he said, love which is merely vocal is in danger of becoming mainly sham. Costs nothing to say, I love you. Well, it might cost an engagement ring or something down the line. But it costs nothing. Talk is cheap. I love you. All right. I really love you. Aye, but I'm starving. Yeah, but I love you. But I'm thirsty. Ah, but I love you. This love has got to be expressed. And our mate, C.S. Lewis, does it better. My terrible slide hasn't shown up. Tell you what it says. The only place outside heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and perturbations of love is hell. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and perturbations of love is hell. In other words, loving people is messy. It can be messy. It is not cost-free. There will be struggles. There will be hurts. There will be mind games being played with you. C.S. Lewis is saying, you can't, if you're going to love someone, you can't really escape some of the nonsense that goes with it that might actually hurt you, confuse you, mess with you, upset you, especially dent your pride. But if we're going to love as Christians the love that's defined and found at the cross, well then we're either all in or we're all out. And so it could be dangerous for us. It could be hurtful for us. But we have to engage in this love, because love never takes a holiday either. We don't have a luxury of setting our love aside, our Christian love, our Christ-centered love. Doesn't take a break. And when we look at the world around us, we can't expect it to change if we've put our love on hold. We simply can't. So we got to love one another. We got to love the stranger. Our love has to be active. Genuinely active. Back in 1974, two best mates, John Stott and Billy Graham, went to Geneva. You can look this up. They signed the Lausanne Covenant. It was an expression at the time of what they felt the gospel should be doing in the world. But there was one major problem before it started, because Stott and Graham fell out over the social activity of love. Graham believed the conference should simply be about the gospel itself and the expression, evangelism, through the gospel to the rest of the world. John Stott, who wrote the Lausanne Convention, or Covenant, also believed that love had to be active and doing stuff for it to be real and properly understood in the context of the gospel that was being preached. And so they had a little chinwag together after Stott had shocked the conference by saying he wouldn't sign it unless Billy Graham came back to this position of love being socially active. And eventually he did. They remained great friends. Two of the greatest people in Reformed theology that we know of. Love is active. To the extent that your love could be shown to an angel or to Christ himself. That's the warning that's being given. So here's my second question. Are you ready to be vulnerable, hurt, and disappointed by loving as Jesus loves? Are you ready to be vulnerable, hurt, and disappointed by loving as Jesus loves? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. So very simply, Lord, help us to love others as we love you. In loving us, Lord, that love ended at the cross, rose again, and continues. But you got hurt in the process of loving us. Help us not to be afraid to love, for in loving, we might actually be encountering you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.